CCTLDs are shaped by their national environments, and as a result of that, you will not find two CCTLDs that are alike. And that's an incredible strength.
Snapshot. Digitale Themen auf den Punkt gebracht. Präsentiert von Internet X.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Snapshot podcast. Today I'm joined by Peter van Rooste. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Johannes.
You are the general manager of CENTER, the Association of European Country Code Top-Level Domain Registries, aiming to promote and participate in developing high standards and best practices among CCTLD registries. You communicate and engage with governments, institutions, and other organizations in the internet ecosystem. Could you tell us what excites you about your job?
Sure. First of all, thank you for inviting me to your podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. Let me start by introducing what CENTER is. So we are the organization for and by European CCTLDs. We're an industry association, and we separate our work into three different workflows. The first one is that we provide a platform to our members, a platform on which they can exchange information, best practices, data. The second group of activities is where we provide our members with information from outside the industry. And the third pillar of the CENTER services package is where we share information from our industry with the outside world. And it's in that context that we see our activities. We interact with the European institutions and European agencies and a wider range of actors in Brussels and across the globe. And to come to the second part of your question, what is the most exciting part? Obviously, the first pillar of our work is the most important one, and it's great to see that we can help the industry advance and professionalize and learn from each other. So that for sure is a very exciting element in our role. When it comes to the engagement, the third pillar, I would say it's the situations in which we can enlighten the debate by providing facts and data and improve the quality of the ongoing discussion. So a good example there, for instance, is the trainings that we provide to the European institutions on what the DNS is and how it works, or the information that we were able to share during COVID and the impact of COVID on the DNS system.
CCTLDs are particularly popular in different regions, above all in Europe. And according to our data from the Global Domain Report 2023, the CCTLD share in the respective European countries often reaches 60 to 70% of the total inland market share. Now, what do you think is it that makes CCTLDs so popular?
We've been looking at this a couple of times, probably the first time 15 years ago. And the conclusion that we have from all this research is there is one predominant factor that decides on the domains per capita and the market share. And that factor is the time of liberalization of the domain name registration policy. So CCTLDs that were early, like Germany, the Netherlands, or Denmark, have a high uptake. And then there are some additional factors. They include the time the sales channel professionalized, the presence and the lack of presence of the language in general business environment. And then finally, the strength of the national brand. So some countries had to play catch up because one of these factors was absent. France is a good example, for instance, of late liberalization. .eu will see a different level of uptake in countries where the EU brand is more popular than in others. And then a final and probably crucial factor is that CCTLDs are generally regarded as having low levels of abuse in their zones, making them safer and more secure. And that also showed during a recent study from the European Commission, where it concluded that the abuse levels in European CCTLDs are significantly lower compared to industry averages. And it's becoming a decisive factor when people are deciding what their online identity will be, and so when they're picking their TLD.
Talking about European CCTLDs, the CENTER Stats Global TLD Report, your quarterly publication, snapshots the status and trends in global top-level domains focusing on European CCTLDs. What are some of the recent highlights you could observe and share with us?
If we go 2 years back, and during the COVID pandemic, we saw a significant spike in the new registration numbers. We also noticed a correlation between those spikes and the severity of the lockdowns. So countries with more severe lockdowns tended to have larger spikes when it comes to new domain creations. Since COVID, we have seen a return to pre-pandemic levels of demand. We measured that by measuring the relationship between creates, so new domains, and deleted domains with an average year-to-year growth, which is now pretty stable around 2%. Center sees those 2% as a healthy rate and believes that sustainable growth remains an important metric for registries. However, it's also good to look at the usage of those new domains. What are people doing with them? So for this reason, we launched an initiative 3 years ago. It's called the Center Signs of Life Crawler, where we look into the domains and, for instance, figure out whether they're park domains, whether there's an error on the page, or whether it's content, and if so, how deep that content is. And the data shows that there is a noticeable contrast between how domains in European ccTLDs are being used compared to their gTLD equivalents. A domain in a European ccTLD is significantly more likely to resolve to a functioning website with active content, so not parked. And interestingly, the rates of active usage of domains among European ccTLDs has remained pretty stable since we started crawling. We saw, on the other hand, that the rates in domains with no web content among gTLDs has been steadily rising. And our research shows that this is due to a higher degree of speculation, in particular new gTLDs.
Now, the administration control of ccTLDs is one of a kind. They are delegated to the nations responsible for the policies and operation of the domains. How are these ccTLDs actually created and how are they governed?
So for that, we need to do a time warp to early 90s, when a computer scientist at the University of California, John Postel, drafted RFC 1591. And this document defined the standards for two categories of TLDs, country code top-level domains and generic top-level domains. And the former, so the country codes, are based on a list of countries and territories as defined by the International Standards Organization. That was a very smart thing to do, make sure that it's not the tech industry who has to decide what a country is and what is not a country. So they relied on an existing list drafted by ISO. It's also important to note that these ccTLDs were not delegated to nations, but to organizations, typically universities. And those were identified by John Postel at the time. Who wants to take on the burden, the administrative burden of managing the ccTLD? And so in Europe, these organizations have now typically become not-for-profit associations. They spun off from the universities and they are organized under a multi-stakeholder governance model. That means that typically in the board of directors of the ccTLD or the advisory committee, you will see representatives from end users, businesses, governments, SMEs. So a large group of stakeholders has reserved seats on those advisory councils. So the role of the administrator of the ccTLD is to perform a public service on behalf of the internet community. And that's an important thing. It's another thing that derives from that RFC 1591 that I mentioned earlier. The RFC talks about responsibility to provide that public service. It rejects the idea of ownership.
Have you ever wondered what the world of domains would look like if you could map all of it at once? This is exactly what the Global Domain Report 2023 by InternetX and CEDAW gives you. An exciting 360-degree view of the domain industry. It's also enriched with statistics and insights into TLD registrations and sales. This year's special is the Domain Atlas, a visual journey across different world regions to shed light on the varying TLD usage around the globe. Visit domainreport.global to get your copy. And now, back to the conversation with Peter van Rooste. Some new EU regulatory developments will substantially impact European ccTLD's operations in the DNS ecosystem. Most notable is the proposal for a directive on measures for a high common level of cybersecurity across the Union, the NIS2 directive, which was published on the 27th of December 2022. What are the implications of NIS2 for ccTLD registries, and what is your opinion on this directive?
Well, this NIS2 directive is it's a pretty unique legislative initiative, as it identifies registries and registrars specifically, and it puts an obligation on them to collect and maintain accurate registration data. On top of that, some of these collected data sets need to be verified in order to be kept accurate across the lifespan of the domain registration. Like GDPR, NIS2 has an extraterritorial effect, and it includes all TLDs under its scope, as long as these TLDs operate in Europe. We are yet to see what the concrete consequences will be on the DNS industry. The member states need to implement the instrument first in their national legislation. And so a lot of the outcome and the impact on the industry will depend on how that implementation is taking place. So what we learned so far, and this is a good example of how we are informing the debate, is that European ccTLDs already have pretty good models to deal with accuracy of their registration databases. They're very diverse. So we see a variety of these practices, and they lead to a reasonably clean and accurate database for registrant data. It's important that these practices are built in a local framework. Regulation in the Netherlands compared to the regulation in Spain or Denmark will be quite different. And so the approach that ccTLDs have taken allow for flexibility in this national context, flexibility according to its business model and the regulatory needs. The verification of that data will continue to remain a challenge, especially due to the lack of available EID tools across the EU. And so one of our main points that we are advising our members to discuss with their national governments is to ensure that implementation takes into account the lack in most cases or the future availability of these EID tools.
Today, cybersecurity is an essential and a critical element for the internet as a whole. European ccTLDs are among the TLDs with the highest security standards. Could you highlight some of the measures the European registries have to protect registrants and namespace from possible abuse?
Sure. So, as I mentioned before, ccTLDs are shaped by their national environments. And as a result of that, you will not find two ccTLDs that are alike. And that's an incredible strength because it means that as a cyber criminal, I will not find a common weakness that will penetrate the security defenses that ccTLDs have built. And if I find a weakness in one of these ccTLDs, there are platforms available, such as Centre, where ccTLDs can share that weakness and help each other to quickly fix it. They also learn from each other. So that exchange strengthens the industry. The turnaround time between identification of a possible weakness and making sure that all the other ccTLDs are patched is extremely short. And in order to help our members even more with that, Centre will be launching a European TLD Information Sharing and Analysis Centre, which is often referred to as ISAC.
Several macro factors like geopolitical conflicts, war, energy crisis, inflation, lingering shockwaves from the pandemic, and new regulatory obligations like KYC, know your customer, and the NIS2 burden the operations of all registries. Can we expect an increase in domain registration costs and lower renewal rates as a consequence of that?
Registration fees have recently been trending up, indeed. The average wholesale price for a European ccTLD is now 7.2 euros, and that's up from 6.8 in 2021, but on par with 2019. So what we saw is that after an initial decline of the wholesale price, it seems to have halted due to the increasing inflation across the Eurozone. When we look at registrant prices, so the pricing that the end user will be paying, we see an average of 10.4 euros, which is up from 8.2 in 2021. In terms of growth, we saw 4.9 at the high of the COVID summer, and now we're back to pre-pandemic levels between 1.4 and 2%. So renewal rates are still very healthy in the European ccTLD zone. The average is 85% of renewal rates, which is quite high compared to industry standards. What we do see is a downturn in new registrations compared to 2021. So first couple of months of 2023 and Q4 of 2022 saw the downward trend, which lands us at the 1.4 to 2% where we are now.
Well, we'll see where 2023 takes us with that. Peter, we are already at the end of our conversation, and that was a very informative talk. Thank you, Bell, for your time and your insights, and thanks to everybody out there listening. Have a good day, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Du willst keine Folge mehr verpassen? Dann abonniere uns doch ganz einfach auf Spotify oder Apple Podcasts. Die aktuellsten News und Trends zu Domains, Hosting und Encryption findest du auf snapshot.fm.